And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjure Man Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and special co-host Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rubricers, Miss Michael of VoodooCandery.com in Willits, California, bringing us today's topic on truth in divination. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those, you signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Conjure Man Ali and Madam Nadia. Conjure Man Ali? Oh, hello, Conjure Man Ali.
Oh, no.
Thanks for that wonderful introduction, Papa Newt. can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good. Thank you for that lovely introduction. This cat is away today. It seems like for the past few weeks, whenever cat is on, I'm not, and whenever I'm not, whenever I'm on, she's not. Hopefully, we'll have a day where we can all be on at the same time. But until that time, we have the wonderful Madam Nadia filling in for her. And we're very excited to have her. Madam Nadia is, of course, a favorite of the show and, of course, a favorite of mine. So we're very excited to have her. This is going to be a great show. Ms. Michael has a fascinating and interesting topic prepared for us, and I'm very much looking forward to discussing that with everyone. But before we go any further, I just wanted to mention a few things. As people who follow kind of the news know, it's been a really crazy week. I would say the entire month has been crazy, and 2016 in general has been very crazy between the attacks in Nice as well as the coup or attempted coup in Turkey and, of course, the recent shootings that have been happening in the United States, including the police shootings that just happened today in Baton Rouge. So once again, spiritual workers, this is the time where you're needed the most to bring healing to a community, to bring wisdom to a community, to bring insight into the community. Light your candles, say your prayers, and for those of you that are diviners, you will remember that several of us made some predictions about 2016, and they all seem to be coming quite true in rather, I would say, probably an unfortunate fashion. This has been a really, really tough year so far, I think, internationally and in matters of geopolitics, and even in regards to what's going on in the nation. And it's definitely not going to be getting easier in the next few months. So ply your trade. You know, it's not, we don't just light candles when people are looking to get back together with their ex-lovers. We also say our prayers and do our working when the community needs us. And I think society certainly could use those prayers at a time like this. So, you know, that's all I'm going to say on this matter. It is important to remember that as a root worker, you're not just a person who's selling spells or casting spells. You're a person who's also a community healer and a part of society and a spiritual leader as well. So remember that the true purpose of a root worker always is that of a healer. And in light of that, hopefully we'll see a little bit of light and the kind of dark times that seem to be 2016. Good news is it's almost done. There's only a few more months left. but other than that, I want to say hi to the lovely Madam Nadia. Glad to have you here and glad to have you joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you, Conjurman Ali. It's always good to be here. It's always sort of scary a little bit to fill in for Miss Cat because she is amazing. So I am going to do as best as I can. And thank you for the introduction. And I don't know if I'm going to be bringing much light because I've been pondering the same sort of issues the last few weeks. It was very interesting in our community because I feel that there was some sort of call for support, and people were not showing or were afraid to show that support, particularly, I think, Candelo, Tata Candelo was calling on people and saying, well, you're practicing African diasporic religion. You're petitioning these ancestors. Where are you? Why can't we see you? Why are you not showing support? So that was an interesting sign to me in the community that we as sort of the leaders, I can say, need to do more work about bringing people together. It doesn't make any sense if we practice hoodoo and, you know, people are afraid to show their support or they're afraid to go to a black person or African-American person and just have a conversation. So I've been thinking a lot about that. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right about that. And I'm going to just flat out say it, too. It's also racism, flat out racism. And I've seen this not just the Hoodoo community, but a lot of other communities. Colleagues in the neo-pagan community who are very comfortable using African-American spirituality, but who don't give a rat's ass when black lives are being killed in this country. So, look, I'm a tourist, I'm blunt, and there's a time for diplomacy, and I'm just going to say it, that there is racism, and there's racism in the Hoodoo community and the spiritual community as well. It's not something that's just happening in society at large. And if you're practicing Hoodoo, but you don't give a damn about the unarmed black men that are being shot in this country or the ongoing systemic racism, then you're part of the problem. So I appreciate what you said. You're absolutely right. And I think it's moments like this where, you know, leaders need to step up and they need to say something and they need to do something. They need to reach out and heal a community that desperately needs healing at a time like this. And all kinds
of support that we can only think about. I think that specifically, I think for white people in our community, there is a sense of not being comfortable maybe to get into dialogue. And for me, if you feel that if something is not comfortable, that means that you have an issue. And this is exactly why you need to get into dialogue and understand why are you feeling uncomfortable.
It's very
just
true. It's the tough conversations that are the ones that need to be had. You're absolutely right about that.
But we need social unrest in order to raise those questions, I guess, and this is the result of what's going on around us. Unfortunately, things get to a horrible, horrible place before they can be changed. And I totally agree with you. Unfortunately, I don't see anything positive coming our way in the next few months. I'm very concerned. I'm very scared. And I also am really hoping that our community is going to come together and more just, you know, we're going to do a public hexing ritual and things like that. I mean, it doesn't mean that we need to start hating the cops. You know, there are so many questions, there's so many difficult issues here, but this is exactly the time when I think we need to figure out where we stand with that. And if you're a racist, goddamn, be a racist and admit that. Don't try to be, you know, here I am praying to Shango, you know, but I am getting freaking scared if I see two black guys on the streets because I think they're going to kill me. Really?
Right. Well, I mean, it's spiritual colonialism at its finest, right? Like you're willing to spiritually take on the ancestors and power of black people, but you're not willing to help out black people when they need it, or you're not willing to be part of that community. I think this is also why Ms. Cat is so adamant about what she's doing the homework for the Hoodoo Root Work course, about people actually being part of a community, about actually talking to someone who is black, right? It not just practicing this as if you can divorce it from the community or from the people that it belongs to. And you're right, this is a period that is going to be transformative, and 2016 in particular is very transformative. And I think this unrest that we're seeing is going to bring about the necessary changes that we need. But you know what? Change isn't easy. And I think you're right to be somewhat apprehensive because you're a diviner. But I think that's enough for it. This is a serious topic and one that I wish we could really dive into even further. And perhaps we can bring it up in some small ways. But just take the message that we've said here to heart for everyone who is listening to us and who can hear the sound of our voices. This is a really important time to take a stand. And if you're not taking a stand, then you're complicit. It's that simple, right? There are no bystanders in this situation. And I think, this is a perfect time to bring up our topic because we're talking a little bit about divination and how you and myself and many others have divined about 2016 and, things are coming to fruition. So I want to turn this over to Ms. Michael, who's brought a very interesting topic to us, one that has not been discussed yet, one that is also quite philosophical and abstract, and I think we'll start and initiate a very interesting conversation. So, Ms. Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about what you would like to discuss on our panel?
Well, the topic I suggested for tonight is truth in divination. Discerning readers and honest clients. And we'll get into the honest clients section in a bit. But I want to make a little bridge between our serious ethical political discussion and this more narrow, possibly lighter weight topic by saying that, a lot of guilty white people are just kind of quivering inside. They can't get it together to take a step in any direction because they're confused because they haven't done any self-analysis, and that makes them afraid. I've been there. I know what that's like. So to those people, I want to say two things. First of all, look to one of our newer secular saints, Mr. Fred Rogers, who said his mother told him when frightening things happen, look for the helpers, not only for reassurance, but for inspiration and guidance. And the other thing is to the magic practicers out there, magic may begin with escapism and play acting, which can be healing, but you won't have any power if it stops there. Okay? Now, truth in divination. An ethical worker, which is most of us, there may always be some level of worry about, am I reading these cards right? Am I getting at the truth and how do I interpret it? And that tends to fade the more you have experience. So there isn't really much of a shortcut to becoming a true and discerning diviner except practice. And you probably find that as soon as you find a system that doesn't tie your brain in knots with memorization or whatever your weakest suit in learning is. When I picked up a tarot deck and started memorizing the symbolism, I was quite shocked to discover that after about 30 days, it was starting to predict the day's events. And I still remember the first one, which was the Empress, which I had learned stood for abundance. And then somebody brought a whole cake in to work to share with everybody for no reason at all, just because. And that was a shock. And it kept going like that, pretty steadily, every day. On the one day when I pulled the Five of Pentacles for my daily card, I blew a job interview. So practice will widen your perception. It's partly a matter of just getting used to the vocabulary. Another thing I learned from Kai Armand, he runs excellent workshops on the subject, the trance and meditation. But he taught us to find out for ourselves from our experience what physical sensations are are established for us in our own bodies, what physical mm-hmm. sensations are associated with spiritual connection, with truth, and with falsehood. That can be kind of a struggle if you're cerebral, as I tend to be, but it is worth doing, no matter how much you live in your head. Because another thing I've discovered is the element of surprise. A surprising message is likely to be a true message.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you're talking about being able to, when you say truth in divination, being able to discern uh-huh. what you're reading is you're actually getting to the
That's
truth.
Right. That's the biggest concern, yes.
Now,
there are...
Interesting.
I know you were expecting me to go with caveat enter, right? Let the buyer beware.
What actually I was thinking when you suggested the topic is the bad rep sometimes that readers and psychics have, you know, the cold reading, all that thing. But in addition to that, I think that if I would say what is the hardest thing that I had to work on reading the cards, and I've been reading the cards for quite a few years, is to let go and say what you really see, meaning not profile your client, not try to sugarcoat, and trusting your cards and just saying what's there. Because I think that a lot of people, when they start reading, they realize what kind of influence they have or what kind of openness is revealed before them as they look into a client's lives. Because people bring their problems. And let's assume that this is an honest client, so to speak, right? You said we're going to get into it later. But they're open their life, they're open their soul, and here you are, you're sitting, you're looking at it, and you see, like, I don't know, the tower, death, and the devil. And you're sitting there, you've been reading for a year and a half, you're looking them in the eyes, and like, oh, everything is going to be great, don't worry. And then you hear after a few months, something really, really bad happened, and then you're really not feeling good. But it's really hard, I find, in the beginning to be able to let go and say things as they are. And this is, for me, a truthful reader. Of course, different people have different styles of reading, and I think that this is why we have different cases and different clients, because some people, you know, they can't handle Madame Nadia, because I'm going to say it as I see it. So they might go to somebody else who is more gentle, or, you know, they need your approach, Conjurman Ali, because you will also put them in their place, or you got to give them the hope if needed. And you, Miss Michael, will all read in different ways. We're all connected to spirit in different ways. But this is, I think, the beauty when you start really saying what you're seeing and seeing that, like you said, Miss Michael, the surprise and the shock on their faces when they're like, why are you talking to me about the green bench from my great grandma? You could not know about that. And I'm like, well, I do.
I wasn't going to tell you about my evil boss. I wanted to talk about my evil boyfriend. And the card is saying, no, you better find another job right quick. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think for me, the key to finding truth is fundamentally, it comes down to three things. First and foremost, you need to be ruthless with yourself, right? And by that, I don't need to be cruel or anything, but you need to be honest. I think a lot of young and burgeoning readers who are just starting out on this practice, they tend to overestimate their abilities or overestimate their successes. They've done a couple readings and they're like, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to read for everybody. And that's not the case. You need to know when you're accurate and when you're inaccurate, because it's only by locating the inaccuracies that you grow. You go, okay, well, that didn't happen the way that I expected to. And then you realize that this process of learning involves you being able to pull cards and go, oh, I was wrong, right? You start off there, be ruthless with yourself. Second, you've got to remove the filter, right, of expectation. And that's very important.
Yeah.
People go in with a set of expectations with the readings, or they think they know in advance. Someone's already talking and they jump to certain conclusions, whether they're based off of assumptions or logic or reason. And all those things will filter the way that you read your oracle, where whether you're pulling cards, whether you're pulling bones, whatever you're doing, right, you need to be able to remove the filter of your expectation. And the third is a practice that builds. What do I mean, a practice that builds? It's not enough for you to just pull do readings every day. You need to build daily on it, whether that means building a connection with spirit because that's what you lack, so you work with your ancestors, you work with divinatory practices, or whether you need to build your vocabulary for reading, by which I mean you know what the different cards mean. You need to be constantly growing, adding and adding. Reading is an accumulative practice, right? You're accumulating experience, you're accumulating language, you're accumulating insight. And it's very important that you keep doing it. If you don't, if all you do is pull cards and you never actually grow, then you're not going to develop your skills as a diviner. You're never going to get to the truth. So I see this process of getting to truth or developing, knowing the truth, as having these three parts to it. And all three of those parts are essential to really getting from kind of divination to truth with a capital T.
I couldn't agree with you more, Conjurman Ali. This is really a good basis to think about your practice as a diviner, not to just do a couple of readings and be like, oh my God, I was really off or something like that. But as we grow and we start reading more, first of all, we accumulate life experience. This is just, you know, this is just how it is. We grow as people, we mature, and we have more life experience as we work with more clients. But I also think that I think it relates sort of to the second thing that you mentioned, is that to do self-analysis. And if you know that, okay, I really couldn't tell my client something as is, and I had to sugarcoat it, whatever, then ask yourself why. Why do you have a problem with
that? Yes.
And I think that's also helps a lot to remove that.
Yeah. I have to say that the one thing that tempts me is soft-heartedness. You know, that's the only reason I have ever come close to raising false hope is no, I refuse to allow the client's life to be that bad. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are the broke-down readers who will curse a client for reading, for leaving them. And I just want to reassure everybody, this is different from being gifted for cursing but not for blessing. It's different from being able to work for others but not for yourself. This is just, this is the reader who can't do any prosperity work for himself. And he can't think of any ways, material or magical, to attract other customers to replace you. So if he doesn't have any honey, does he actually have any vinegar to curse you with?
Interesting.
So if a reader threatens you, don't be afraid. Just walk away.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think when we're talking about truth, we're really highlighting a central relationship with divination. Divination isn't necessarily what people think. It isn't just about predicting the future. That's an important part of it. That's not entirely what it is. Divination is literally divining the truth of a situation. It's getting to the heart of a matter, seeing the spirit of a matter for what it is. With all illusion cast aside, with all fiction thrown aside, it's seeing the truth for what it is. And that's what the diviner does. A skilled diviner, if you build that relationship with the truth.
It means unveiling the past also then.
Yeah, the point that I'm trying to make here is that when you develop that relationship, being able to discern between truth and falsehood, you're also able to do that practically when you're not pulling cards. You're able to see the truth as people speak to you. This is the way you know you've developed that sort of relationship with the truth. You're able to discern it even when people are speaking to you. You go, this person is lying, because you're able to see the truth of what's going on in that situation. So the skill of the diviner is being able to see behind the curtain, right? See the man behind the curtain. That's what the diviner does. And that's how they're able to discern truth from falsehood. What are some practices? I want to ask Madame Nadia. We'll start with Madame Nadia and we'll go to you, Ms. Michael. What are some ways that you develop truth, not just kind of a general strategies which you've already discussed, but specific practices? Do you do certain things? Like, for example, do you say a prayer before you do your working? you light a candle, et cetera, et cetera. How are ways that the average person listening in can start developing that relationship with truth with various practices?
I think that when we say truth, it's sort of a very big word.
Yeah.
So if we can associate truth mm-hmm. with clarity, right? Can we agree? It's the truth, truthfulness can be related to clarity. So
mm-hmm.
when you try to hone that, when you try to focus on that, I would suggest having the same practice, and I would suggest having a very simple practice, because especially if you just started learning the cards, it can be so overwhelming sometimes, or if you started taking clients, it can be very overwhelming in the beginning. A simple practice, some clarity oil, some star anise, white candle, a bowl of water that you can throw away after you're doing the reading. You can also do the same thing at night before you're going to sleep. You can ask your spirit guides, your angels, whoever you're working with, to
mm-hmm.
start deepening the connection with you. So the everything that's around falls away, and you can see clearly what's going on. And this is how, I think you said, spirit, seeing spirit. This is seeing spirit, because if we accept our own beliefs that beyond money and beyond walls and clothes and things like that, everything is energy. So
mm-hmm.
when you see them with a client, you can realize that your words are energy, or you're dealing
mm-hmm.
with their energy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
asking for that, let me see what I need to see, not just with my eyes, but with my mind and with my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And also another prayer
mm-hmm.
for me is would be just teach me how to say what I have to say in beneficial ways, right? Because sometimes we have clients that we don't click with them, or they might be like, you know it all or whatever. I
mm-hmm.
still try to stay cool and focused and say I have the same message, but my prayer can be, you know, in addition to clarity, let me stay focused and connected, so I don't give them the information in the worst way and scare them, because sometimes you just like, I'll do anything to get you out of here. That's the truth, you know. doing very white candle, clarity oil, herbs like fennel for me and star anise, five kinds
yeah.
of grass, so it clears you up, but also brings you money. And also, we're using
mm-hmm.
our five fingers, right? We're using the hands,
mm.
our hands to.
Yes, I love five finger grass.
And anything related to mercury for me, if you can make mercury incense, which five finger grass, by the way, is connected to mercury, would be really good to burn during readings, because mercury, in addition to being the messenger of the gods, it's also the trickster. It's also the
mm-hmm.
salesman, right? It's also the person that the god, whatever, that knows the different languages. So if that entity or that spirit, that connection is present, you will know to discern the truth. You will know when you're bullshitting
mm-hmm.
to yourself, and you will know when somebody is bullshitting to you. And you will, as that grows,
mm-hmm.
you will also be able to see beyond who is bullshitting to them, right? Who is, why
mm-hmm.
their thing is not
mm-hmm.
working, somebody lying to them. But that is practice, though, and that is consistency. So if you decide I'm going to be working with mercury incense, give it at least 3 months, right? And start
mm-hmm.
to write it down. Well, this was my experience in the reading. This was my experience in the reading. And see how accurate you get. And I promise you it's going to be much more accurate, but in a consistent and systemic way, which is very important in my eyes as for a professional
mm-hmm.
reader.
Well, those are all very brilliant, very brilliant. And how fitting for a Gemini to have some form of Mercury involved in bolstering divination and truth seeing. So that's a beautiful, beautiful. Miss Michael, what are some things that you do to really help you perceive truth as you need to?
Well, every night I light a lamp with Caroline Dye's picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on my crystal silence altar, so she also helps me pray for other people. But
mm-hmm.
basically, what I do is I just greet my tools when I get ready for readings, and I just
mm-hmm.
you know, I take a little roll call, a little check in, you know, just It's kind of like gathering around the water cooler or the coffee pot and saying, well, how are you doing today? It's just making sure that I understand what they're saying and that we have zeroed in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for instance, I've got my cards on my desk, my crystal balls on my desk, my Bible's in my top desk drawer. And sometimes I can just feel the Bible saying, okay, it's my turn, it's my turn, it's my turn. Open me up. So I tell clients when they're a little dubious about doing magical work, well, it only works if you believe in it. I actually had someone say that to me a couple of weeks ago. It only works if you believe in it, right? And I say, no, these things are alive and awake. They believe in themselves. So just like the cinnamon and the star anise and whatever, just like the herbs believe in themselves, so do the cards and so do the Bible. So I've learned to trust them. I've learned to trust them. I don't always understand them. And occasionally that's because the answer just isn't available. The situation is too cloudy, too fluid. And sometimes you got to say so.
That's a good point. Sometimes the answer isn't readily available because of circumstances. The future, the present, the past, they're all very quite fluid. And our understanding of them is fluid as well. And so you have to recognize that sometimes, hey, the answer is just not readily available. And that's part of that truth that we're talking about, right? Being able to step back and go, look, I don't have the answer right now. But the truth is somewhat unavailable.
Because nobody has it. Yeah,
right.
The answer does
and
not
that's
even
perfectly
exist
fine.
Yet.
That is perfectly fine. I mean, I know people who refuse that and just keep pulling and pulling. You're just going to make things confusing. And this happens particularly with clients. You know, you have certain clients that end up going, who just because they're unhappy with the answer they get, or they're unclear with it, they go reader after reader after reader, and they'll find that as they do that, the answer becomes more and more unclear. The truth becomes further and further away.
Even if they tailor their story, even if they tailor their story to force the answer they want. I don't have that have that happen very often, but I have had it once or twice.
It happens. It happens. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes our clients want to try to read us as much as we try to read our clients. And so they try to figure, like, how am I going to give it to you so you agree with me? Because people need everybody wants to be agreed with, right? But the point to go to a diviner, I think, is that somebody is going to tell you how things are, and it's your business what you're going to do. It's like what we said in the beginning of the show, change is difficult. Hey, that's the truth. So if you're willing and you want to spend money for somebody just to tell you what you want to hear, cool. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep about that. But for people who really want change, who really seek something, who really want to improve their lives, they are those people that stay with you for years, because you really made a difference in their life, and they are willing to take that a leap of faith, and they're willing to adjust and change, because otherwise, why the hell even to go and get
That's
a reader,
right?
If you're not willing to change, why to even just keep doing whatever you're doing and expect different results, right? That's not working so good. But really, I mean, this is why we're going to get a reading, to get advice, to change if we can change, or at least to prepare for what's coming. And if you don't want to do it, then...
You're absolutely right. And truth, right? Truth in of itself is quite bright, right? Change is tough, and so is the truth itself. There are a couple things that I'd like to mention here is that I think there's certain elements and senses that are really strongly associated with truth. Water and fire, both are very strongly associated symbolically with the idea of truth. It's why a lot of readers will have a candle going or will have a bowl of water or a cup of water, incense also. All these work well, but water and fire are both really good at helping bring out the truth of the situation. Also, there's certain senses that are very good at this. One is your sight. The truth is associated with seeing very clearly. I know Ms. Michael talked about feeling in certain ways, but for example, for me, it's always been truth. When I prepare to do readings, it's a little thing I do, and some people catch it, and most people don't because it's very subtle. But I close my eyes for 2 seconds and then open them up. It's part of a series of gazes that certain diviners have trained for, and it's the diviner's gaze. It's now on my eyes see the truth type thing. So your sight is one of them. The other one is your sense of touch. So touching something is a very strong way about truth. So touching a client's hand, touching a situation. If you do something like that, like use your sense of touch, mm-hmm. I think you're able to discern truth better. Just certain ways that I think you can work through
I get that sense of touch in a very limited context when I'm doing bibliomancy. Sometimes mm-hmm. I get a rough spot on the page where the paper is not actually that rough, but it feels rough under my finger, and that's usually the verse I need.
You know, Conjurman,
yeah.
I was thinking about that gaze. First of all, of course, you would be the person that will say, I'm going to close my eyes for 2 minutes as the person who has blind, amazing seers in their lineage. Totally. But
that's actually true.
I think for me, a lot of times it's shuffling the cards. And one of the things that I say, because most of my readings is phone or Skype, 99% of my reading, I would say, mm-hmm. think about what you want to know, say a prayer, meditate on it, and I'll be shuffling the cards. That's my way to connect with the client. But it's also a way for me to get into that meditative space, right? It's like drum, pump, mm-hmm. pump, pump. I'm shuffling the cards. Mm-hmm. The sensory aspect of me touching the cards, of my mind being trained to go to the space, my eyes are closing. When I open my eyes and I'm ready, it's exactly you're like I'm in a different Nadia, you know. This is me being in that zone with the client, and this is a sacred space. This is, you know, and you know when you like when something is going on with you, you're not feeling way when you got boomed out of that space. It's like, what's going on? And this is when I think you really need to be true to yourself and real with yourself and say, I think I need to do some cleansing. This is 13
yeah.
feel right about, you know, good now because something is going on and it doesn't click. And it's not necessarily because somebody cursed you. It's because maybe you overdid reading. You saw too many people. You're tired. Your cards accumulated all kinds of energies and mixed up in stories. Take a break. Take a bath. Don't do it because it's good for you. Just do it out of respect for your client. Because otherwise you're not going to be functioning the way you should be or the way you're expected to.
You know, as an anecdote of sorts, that's really tied to what you said. When you mentioned shuffling, that's actually a way that you can tell someone is actually a very skilled reader. You can usually tell is when they shuffle, right? Is that when they're really focused and they're shuffling, you can tell that they're using that to gain that connection, and it's really so you can the way a reader shuffles their cards if they're cardomancer is a really fantastic way of seeing if they're really connecting to spirit or not, or is this just kind of an automatic, you know, just showy thing that they do. Anyways, we've come to the end of our discussion. This has been a fantastic panel between the two of you and the suggestions you've made. Great. I hope that it was beneficial for the people that were listening, and of course. Revisit it slightly at the end when Ms. Michelle gives her 3. Now, hopefully you'll come back on and we can do a part 2 of this. So, Papa Newt, why don't you take it away and lead us on to our next caller.
Go ahead. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and special guest Adam Nadia, and this week's special guest, Ms. Michelle, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Nuke, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller we have is calling from area code 347 in New York City. This is Amar. Amar, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I do see that you have not gone to Ms. Kat, Conjumana Lee, or any other readers on this particular situation. Is that correct? Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry.
That's
I misread that. Okay, but you did have a reading separate issue with Kai Armand 2 weeks ago on this situation?
It was, like, kind of related, but not exactly.
Oh, okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure we had clarity on that. Thank you. And, all right, I've had a crossroads in my life where I'm trying to become independent. I'm just aiming to get some clarity about my next steps and how I'm going to do things. Where am I going to go and how my dreams will play out? Turning back to you, Conjumana Lee.
Thank you for that, Papa Newt. Let's have our first reading be done by Madam Nadia, and then we'll have Ms. Michael do the second reading, and I'll give you some suggestions. So, Madam Nadia, please take it away.
Perfect. Hello, Amar. How are you doing today?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Well, thank you for trusting us with your questions. What I want to clarify here for a second is that are you wanting us to tell you what's happening, what is your future here, or are you looking for advice about where to go? Because these are two different things for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's a lack of clarity for me. I'm not exactly sure. I guess both. But yeah, I guess what I'm looking for is just some clarity on my situation. So I think whatever for you, I trust that.
Okay, well, as you were speaking, I pulled three cards from my Sibylla deck. And all three of the cards came out reverse. So for me, it says that indeed you don't have clarity, or you need to learn how to discern, funny enough, because this is the topic of the show, reality from illusion and truth from untruth for yourself, and learning to take responsibility for that, because it seems like you had some helpers in the past, people that you thought are going to be very trustworthy and supportive, and their advice is going to be good, and it didn't really work out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing here is that in regard to financial questions, financial concerns, what I have here is a card that's called Friend, and it's reversed. And when it's reversed, it talks about being able to find money or social support, social advantage, refine mortgage, things like that. So if you're looking for that kind of support, it's going to be available. But the following card is sort of the card of depression. We see a lady that's crying, and it's reversed. And this is a card of sort of heavy energy, being very, very sad, some sort of form of infertility, not necessarily regarding children, but feeling like you are in a certain static place. And with that card comes a little bit of this notion that maybe there is some spiritual funk that's going on that needs to be cleared. And for me, this is not necessarily somebody who's sitting and cursing you, but just things that we accumulate. And if you're not going to do it, those social advantages that were here before might not play out will not play out in your favor. You won't know what to do with them, what is a good thing to do with them. So there is definitely some clarity that needs to come, but this clarity needs to come from part one, your decision to be responsible, take take chances and move forward. And the second is definitely doing some cleansing and clearing. And I will leave that for Conjurman Ali, of course. But this is what I see, and I wish you good luck. And I wonder what Miss Michael is going to tell us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, my first... I opened the Bible to a couple of scriptures. I don't, it just sounds disrespectful to say I pulled some scriptures while Madam Nadja was talking. And the ones I found, I was led to, are completely consistent with this sense of emptiness and desolation even. But, and yet I get a sense that it's just, it's not, all is lost, I'm going to starve. It's just that, more like, well, I don't have any tools, so I can't do any fun projects, and I can't build anything. The verses I got were Isaiah 23, verse 7. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. I do think you want to regroup. I'm seeing the Six of Pentacles, which shows two children playing innocently and happily and safely in a walled garden with a guard striding off to start his shift. So you need some innocent pleasure, you know, jewels and shiny things and roses and all the kittens you can eat. And the other verse was in the next chapter, Isaiah 24:3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. That is, everything taken away, for the Lord has spoken this word. That's, you might be able to work this to your advantage. Okay, your house is empty, but at least the closets are clean. You get to fill them now. But that was your question: fill them with what? So I'm going to open the Bible one more time. Let's turn to the words of our friend Jesus. And where do we land? Oh, okay. Friends are coming to you. Powerful friends, knowledgeable friends, not all of them human, because I land on the last verse of John 17. I have declared unto them thy name, he's praying, and will declare it that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There are spirits and people eager, waiting to meet you and know you and be part of your life for your mutual benefit. I would say be wary of people who have a martyr complex and want to fix you. It should be a potluck, something of a party as you
right.
rebuild your life.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Ms. Michael, and thank you, Madam Nadia. I'm going to give you some suggestions on what you can do.
Okay.
You know, your situation is somewhat vague, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay. It's perfectly fine.
Right.
You know, so I can't give you, you know, so what I'm going to give you is root work that really helps you decide what you need to do and also gives you the power to do what you need to do. Okay? Because when you say I'm trying to become independent, right? That can mean a lot of different things. So what I want you to do is get yourself, and this is the same thing, this can be relationship-wise, money-wise, whatever it is. What I need you to do is do two-part working. The first is a bath, right? A bath is a good way to bring about clarity, but also to remove anything that has accumulated, as Madam Nadia has rightly pointed out. Get yourself a bay leaf. Bay leaf is fantastic for clarity, but also for victory. Also, rue, and then saltpeter. What you're going to do is you're going to brew the bay leaf and the rue into a tea. You're going to add a pinch of saltpeter. Saltpeter is fantastic as a protective agent, but also can break through things. It helps to energize. It speeds things up. I often add saltpeter to incense or candles or any of that extra push. You're going to bathe with this. You're going to bathe with this over 3 days, right? Preferably before the new moon and then passing the new moon. So you want to schedule this in a way that you kind of balance the boundaries between the phases of the moon, or that you straddle them. So start when it's waning and do this until the moon starts to wax. And every day you're going to bathe with this. You're going to let yourself air dry, gather a bit of the used bath water, and dispose of it at a crossroads. On the final day, when you've disposed the bath water, I want you to pick some crossroad dirt up and leave three coins. Okay? I call out to the spirit of the crossroads, the spirit of hoodoo itself, to help me, to open the ways for me, to give me the guidance that I need. You're going to come back home with that dirt. You're going to make a small crossroad out of that dirt. This is just an X. In the center, you're going to put an orange candle that you have anointed with Van Van oil. Van Van is a luck changer, a cleaner, a cleanser. It will help to clear away the mess, but also empower you and turn your luck around. Then, at the four arms of the crossroad, you're going to set white candles that are not anointed, but are going to represent the various parts of your life. For example, let's say you want to be independent and you have two jobs lined up. You'll name one of the candles for one job and one for the other. You have a relationship that you're not so sure if you're going to stick around with. You're going to name that for the relationship, and so on and so forth. And you're going to have these four candles for four different aspects of your life, or four different paths that you can take. Light all the candles, pray sincerely from your heart, and then watch the white candles. You can see the orange candle. If the flame moves in a certain direction, that will give you a sign. If one white candle burns slower than the other, that tells you something. If it burns faster, that tells you something. See the way they burn. See the way that the wax melts. All of that will help to give you a sign. If you don't see anything in the burning of the candle, that's okay. Maybe you don't have the ability to do that type of reading. Go to sleep while the candle is burning, and that will help bring on dreams, and you will have insight, or you will wake up knowing the answer. And then look at the wax that's left over and see if you can see any signs of that. This is a great way of deciding what you need to do, getting the answers that you need, as well as also empowering yourself to make the right decision. Do this as many times as necessary. Maybe you have more things than four candles, right? You can repeat this as many times as you can. But make sure that you pay close attention to the candles and that you are open to the truth. Just like we mentioned earlier into the show when we discussed truth in divination, you need to be open to the truth. If a candle represents a job, for example, right, that will help you become independent, and that candle burns like a disaster, right? It's got wax all over the place. It's a weak flame. It's sooting up. Then you need to be open that that job, no matter how much you think in your mind is great, the spirits are indicating there's a problem there. So be open to the truth that will be revealed to you as you watch those candles. If you need help, you can also contact a reader who specializes in some form of candle divination and wax divination to give you some insight. And you can take pictures of candles or residual wax and send them to them, and they'll be happy to advise you if you don't feel comfortable interpreting for yourself. So this is what I would recommend, this two-part working first with water, then with fire to bring clarity and power in your life, bathing to remove and empower, and candles to bring insight and empower you. I'm going to ask Madam Nadia and Miss Michael if they have any other suggestions that they can provide based off of the reading that they've given you. Let's first go to Madam Nadia, and then we'll ask Miss Michael to see if she has some insight as well. Madam Nadia, is there anything you would recommend specifically based off what you've read for the client to do?
Well, thank you, Countryman Ali, and thank you for you gave an awesome advice here. It's brilliant.
Yes, thank you.
And it's really sort of, it's not too complicated. You can really follow that. Based on my cards, as I said, there is an image here of a crying woman. If indeed the situation makes you cry, keep some of that tissue. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Keep some of that because this is a representation of your sorrow. And as you light the candles, the orange candle, as Conjurer Ali suggested, I would suggest very carefully, like use some tweezers, burn that tiny little piece of tissue, whatever you kept, in the flame of the orange candle as you pray for your sorrows, for your blocks, for all those things that make you feel sad and depressed to be alleviated and removed. And another thing, going based off the work here that Conjurman Ali gave you, sometimes when we light candles and we look for a decision, just by doing the ritual, suddenly we realize what we really want to do. And at this point, it's like beyond watching how it's going to burn. It's just like, this is my passion. This is my desire. This is what I'm going to do. In case that happens, but you need to be really, really, really clear that it's not something that you want and you're pushing, but really this comes to you and you feel overwhelmed with that feeling. One of those white candles represents that, right? So what I would do, I would go and I would actually extinguish, snuff out the other three candles. But that's only really if you are overwhelmed with this understanding, with this feeling, with this calling, whatever that might be. Otherwise, by all means, look at how the candles burn.
That is absolutely fantastic. Thank you for that, Madam Nadia. Ms. McKell, do you have anything to add?
Yes. First, I have to ask, Amar, can you cook?
No.
Okay, great. Oh, you can? All right. Well, then this will be simpler. All right. Go into your kitchen, get two bay leaves, and write on one of them, friends find me, and on the other one, wisdom come to me. Now, you can wear one in each shoe, which you should probably do. Take two more, write on them the same way, and stick them in your sugar bowl. Okay? If you ever do get ambitious about cooking someday, you might want to look up bay leaf dessert on the internet. There are recipes for desserts with bay leaves in them so that wisdom and friends can come to you sweetly.
Okay?
But definitely, wisdom and friendship bay leaves in your shoes and in your sugar bowl.
Okay.
Well, that's fantastic. And the reason bay leaves are being used here is because bay leaves bring about clarity. And they bring about wisdom. And interestingly enough, they're also fantastic for victory power. They're very solar in that regard. So using bay leaves in your working, putting it in your sugar, putting it in dessert, putting it in your shoe, it's all great. The reason we put things in our shoe is so that every step we take, it leads us in the direction that we desire. It helps us also conquer or overcome. So those are fantastic suggestions. I think that From the sound of your voice, you're a very sweet person, a very lovely person. Some power work, some empowering work is definitely needed. So look into Queen Elizabeth Root as well, okay? Something that will give you strength, something that will give you power, and that will help you be victorious in your life. You can put it in a mojo bag. You can keep it on the altar that you do the candle work with. But I think it's something that will be a good addition to all the other things we've recommended. I do thank you for trusting us with your situation, and I hope it all works out for you. Call us back and let us know how things go, okay?
I will. Thank you all so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. We have come to the end of our reading. We're going to have Papa Nuke come in and lead us on to our second reading for the day.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client we have is calling from area code 904 in Florida. This is Ree. Ree, are you there? Hello, Ree.
I'm here.
Oh, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
You're welcome, man. And let's take a look at your situation here. Ree writes, there was a guy I was seeing very briefly. We slept together a few times. I really like him, but I'm not sure if there is a chance for us. I'd like just some insight into our chemistry, my feelings for him, his thoughts and feelings, and possibilities between us, or any closure if necessary.
That's not mine.
Oh, it's not yours. Oh,
no.
Where am I? I am so sorry. 904 is your area code, isn't it?
Yes.
And Blessed Favors 32 is your account name?
Yes.
Oh, okay, well, if you can give us a few brief sentences of your situation, and then we'll turn it over to our host.
Okay, I'm sorry about the mess up. I'm trying to find out if work is being done on me and who could possibly be doing it, and if there's things left in my yard for me, and is it a possibility that maybe my boyfriend could be helping, and is he under some type of spell or work being done on him?
Certainly. Well, we'll give this over to our readers and see what they can find out for you. Congressman Ali?
Thanks, Papa Newt. I think, Ree, the confusion is that there seems to be two separate issues. I'm looking at what Papa Newt saw, and he read it correctly. There was one portion of it that is asking about there was a guy I was seeing briefly, and then there's another part that's asking, is someone doing work? So there's two separate issues, and I'm assuming that based on what you said, you'd like us to focus on whether work was done. Now, is it also true that you had a reading with Candelo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So you have had a reading with Candelo, and was it about the same situation or someone else, something else?
Well, I didn't really get to ask many questions with him due to the fact that I only paid for a 30-minute reading. So he just basically read me and told me a few things that were going on in my life. And he did kind of state that at the end that work was being done on me, which I've been told by a lot of people here. And but I'm just like I said, I didn't get to ask, you know, questions of my own with him.
Now, Reed, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Pisces.
You're a Pisces. I pulled a few cards here. I'm going to go over those cards briefly. We're going to have, and then we'll have other people do your readings, and then we'll give you some suggestions at the end. The first card that I have here is the Nine of Swords. The Nine of Swords shows us an individual awake at night with nine swords hanging over their head. Yes, there is indeed a work that has been done over you. It hangs over your head as a threat. It brings darkness, sorrow, and pain in your life. And in particular, it affects your love life and will affect your emotions. We see here the second card is the Three of Swords. The Three of Swords is a heart that is impaled by three blades. This tells us very clearly that this is a very difficult situation. It's a painful one. And one that both affects your heart and emotions and life, but also stems from it. So it is connected to your love life, though it isn't entirely clear whether it's your ex-boyfriend himself. Because when I ask who it is, we have the Queen of Swords. The Queen of Swords is a woman who's done this. This is a woman who is likely an air sign themselves, a woman who is stern and thinks what they are doing is right. They're not doing this because, they're just evil by nature. There's a sense of righteousness that what they're doing is the right path, and they feel justified in carrying out the work that they have done. There is very clearly not only work that is being done, but work that has been placed in your presence. I think you mentioned something in your yard or lawn, and this definitely confirms that it is there, that it is present, that this is not work that's being done from afar, but it's also been placed near you. This person is also doing it regularly. It's tied to the moon in some way, shape, or form. So pay attention to the phases of the moon, as you will find that your situation will fluctuate. We see this in the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups shows us an individual with a red cloak walking away from golden goblets, and then walking into a bleak background as a moon watches over them. So it is clearly tied to the moon. It is aimed at making you lose all that you have. It is aimed at driving you away. So be mindful in particular of restless thoughts, of thoughts that make you give in to despair, feelings of hopelessness and feeling forlorn. These are all coming from the roots that have been placed on you. The work is strong. The work is tied to the moon and done by someone who definitely knows what they're doing. So be mindful of this, and it's likely that you'll need some type of professional help to help break this. There's some things you can do to alleviate it, and we'll talk about those here on the call, but you are going to need someone to help you out as a professional. That's what I see here. We're going to have Ms. Michael do the second reading, and then we'll go to Madam Nadia. So, Ms. Michael.
Okay. All right, yeah. I was thinking of some very powerful work and some very sweetening work, but that's going to be up to Ms. Nadia, Madam Nadia. So I have my Bible open, and I am in the book of Ezra, the 10th chapter. It's a list of names, a long list of names, of people who had taken strange wives and had children with them. So you were worried about whether your boyfriend was involved. Conjurman Ali talked about a sense of righteousness on this side. There may be a child of your ex-boyfriend's and somebody else, and the mother of this child is trying to get the child's father back.
Yes. I mean, I've kind of known that it could possibly be her due to the fact that, yes, and I'm pregnant also right now.
And is it his child?
Yes, it's his.
Okay. Oh, there's a tussle. Yeah. Yeah. Because this is a long list of names of people who have children. You know, in irregular relationships. And, you know, it's two names long anyhow. All right, so that's the source. And you could get into a lot of drama about fighting back and forth. You need to concentrate on getting your own life the way you want it and taking care of your child. I'm going to pull one more verse. What have we got here? This is 2 Chronicles. Okay. All right. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 4, and this is the first phrase of this verse is what's relevant. He slew not their children. The most you can get from him is for him to be a father to the child. Second Chronicles 25, verse 4. He slew not their children. So the most you can get from him is to compel him to be a good father to your child. Now, my last question is whether or not you can get these. How successful are you going to be in uncrossing yourself? So I am in the book of Matthew now. Okay. This is in Matthew 12, verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? You do need to uncross yourself. You particularly need to think, phrase it in terms of breaking chains. As Kanjaman Ali said, your thought processes are being manipulated. So you're likely to fall into this what's the use kind of thinking. You do got to break out of that wisdom, and you got to get your wisdom and your courage back. And then, of course, you have to protect your house. That's what I see.
Thank you, Ms. Mike Helm. So, Madam Nadia, in my reading, we saw that this was related to the ex-boyfriend, but not clear. There was an older woman doing magical work who felt righteous. Kel narrowed it down even further and said it was a mother, at which point the client says this is the baby mama. So we see that there's been work there. There's been work that's been laid physically. It affects her mind and heart, and it's meant to drive her away and make her give up. But now we know that the client is also pregnant. So what are some works that you would recommend, bearing in mind that the client themselves is with child, and so there's certain kind of limitations there. But what would you recommend that the person can do, that she can do on her own?
Leah, I have a question for you. How many months are you in? I mean, is it a new pregnancy, very recent, or are you quite along?
I'm 22 weeks.
22 weeks, so you're not showing that yet.
I'm 22 weeks. No, I'm not showing that.
22.
Okay. So the other the other woman that's related to your boyfriend then knows that you're pregnant, yes?
I'm not sure. I think she knows. Candelo told me that she knows.
I agree with Candelo. And I have another question. Is this a boyfriend or an ex-boyfriend?
Well, he was my boyfriend. He was my boyfriend.
But he's going back and forth between you and the other lady, yes?
Well, right now, we are not on no type of speaking terms. When he says, drive me away, does that mean drive me out of town? Like, make me move from...
I'm not sure what the drive away comment meant here, but what I strongly feel here is the sense of justice. What I strongly feel is that the other woman that has a kid from him feels that when he is with you, you are taking what is right for her, what is righteous for her and her kid, is that attention of the father, it may be financial help, and all kinds of other things. So a lot of that, what you might be feeling is that if he's around, that cycle starts again. And I also think that there is somebody buried a puppet head down in your yard, and I think that there is definitely something to do with chains or worry that you could do with chains. But are you considering, if this man would be coming back into your life, are you going to be taking him back? That's my question.
I mean, I would love to because I feel like due to...
Okay. So just a little bit of a warning here. Because both of you have a child from this man, you are going to be forever connected. So it means that you will have to do this work regularly. This is how it is just coming with this person, and this is an unfortunate situation. So first of all, what I want you to do, because I don't want to give you too much complex work, but I do highly suggest that you go to somebody who can do more work than what you can do for yourself and what you can do because you are with child. First and foremost, I want you to take a huge bowl of salt, and I want you to pray over this salt, and I want you to pray the 51st Psalm over it, okay? And then you can add a little bit of hyssop to that, a little bit of rue. But what I want you to do is pray really intensely. Pray for your justice. Pray for you. Pray for your child. When you are done, I want you to light a white candle, and I want you to take this bowl, and I want you to walk around your property from the outside in and start marking it with salt. If you can go and put it all around the outside and then go inside, I would do that. Or all around the outside and then in the four corners of your yard and then in the, on the steps to your house if you live in a house and then four corners of each and every room. I want you to do that and I want you to do that regularly. Okay, and if you want to work with the moon, first of all, I think it's brilliant because you are pregnant. That's very much connected to the moon. And I think that this is the vibe here that you also can use that to help you. I would do that based on the moon. Like when the new moon and the full moon, I know that I have to change the salt and I have to vacuum and clean, do whatnot to be safe and protected. In addition to that, the same mix of hyssop, rue, salt, and I would also add angelica. And I would also add althea, because both of them are helpful for women, and both of them are protective ones. You can also add rue and bathe in this regularly. I want you to steep those things and make a tea out of it, but I want your bath to be lukewarm, and I want that to be the tea also to be lukewarm as you pour it in, and I want you to sit a little bit with that bath and soak in it. Another good thing that I suggest you use in the bath is by coconut juice. This comes more from my spiritual tradition, Kanjurman Ali's spiritual tradition, but coconut water, I'm sorry, adding that to your bath regularly as well. Setting protective candles, definitely do that. But I am a little bit in a catch-22 here, because as a woman who went through pregnancy and had to deal with a lot of crap and a lot of spiritual stuff during my pregnancy, I don't want you to do too much because I don't want you to have stress and I don't want you to be in that kind of vibe because you're already in it. So I highly suggest you go to somebody who can do that work, and that needs to be an unbinding work. I can see working with chains or having hooks with chains into like a black figural candle or just a black jumbo reversing candle. And this is a work that needs to be done in stages. It shouldn't be even done in one go, or it needs to be done consistently in one go. So it needs to be done in stages to keep that work away from you. However, as I said before, unfortunately, because you have connection to this man and this woman has a connection to this man, when he's going to come around, and I promise you that he's going to come around, that thing, that is going to start again. Because she is completely convinced that she's righteous and he is supposed to be there and he's supposed to help to her child.
He's a great father. He has more than just her child. Her child is just a
Great
father.
But my dear, when it's people's... I don't know.
Go ahead, Madam
Rania. What I wanted to say is that when we have a, it doesn't matter what is just or what's going on. When a person has a conviction, This person can get results from just looking at the herbs. They don't need to do anything. Yeah. And this woman has a conviction. So that's why I'm saying there needs to be a lot of work done. There needs to be work that's done from a professional. Not somebody's going to change their mind. And it's something that's going to be done consistently here because I think that the guy's going to be back and she's going to take the guy back. So this is sort of what I recommend.
Thank
and
you, Madam
Nadia. See here.
Thank you. I think Madam Nadia was actually right. She said this person has a conviction. You need to make a decision. It's a tough decision. This is a very difficult situation that you're in. You need a little bit more help than we can give on the radio show right now. I suggest a follow-up reading and consultation, perhaps maybe with Candelo or Madame Nadia or Ms. Michael or someone else, but also get ready because this is a bit of a fight. We do thank you for trusting us with your situation. I hope all the best for you. And hopefully it works out, but you will have some difficult decisions ahead of you. We're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to head on to our next segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Take it away, Miss Michael.
Well, thank you, Papa Newt. Okay, this is a spell to force people to tell the truth, and I have a plain version and a fancy version. Okay. First of all, you need, for either version, you need a photo of whoever it is that's not being straight with you. And then you need to draw on that picture. You need a thought balloon like you see in comics. And in that thought balloon, you need to write Liar's End in the Lake of Fire, Revelation 21:8, because that's what it says there. And you need a speech balloon like in the comics. And in that, you're going to write, I speak the whole truth from my heart. Okay? Now, here's where it splits into two versions. The simpler version is you get a couple of those flat magnifier cards that have the concentric circles on them. You can find them in the drugstore. And you make a sandwich of those with the photo in the middle. You're going to dress those magnifier cards with crucible of courage to give him the strength to tell the truth. And whatever oil is appropriate, either blessing, if he's just shy and reluctant to speak up, or blockbuster, if there's a lot of issues in the way, or cast off evil, and clarity. So crucible of courage, clarity, and either blessing, blockbuster, or cast off evil. Those go on the magnifier cards. That makes a sandwich. It goes under a candle, either white, yellow, or blue, depending on whether he needs clarity, courage, or confidence. You know, just yellow is a confidence color. Blue is a peace color. The fancy way to do it is to put those oils on a crystal ball and put it on the photo and surround it with little candles in the right color. You can dress the candles with oil, too, if you want to. And remember, if you do use the crystal ball, don't put it in direct sunlight unless the guy has caused you a lot of trouble and maybe he deserves to be scorched a little bit. That's it.
That was
Hello?
Fantastic. Very interesting. So you said you could let it, you mentioned scorching if he deserves it.
You'd have to watch that pretty close, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think that's interesting. I think you could certainly scorch it if you're careful and you know what you're doing. This is in line. Interestingly enough, there's quite a bit of work that in hoodoo that it's somewhat similar to this. You've taken it in a very innovative way. But, for example, compelling people to tell the truth or finding out the truth by adding pressure is something that we find, for example, in one of the oldest workings of this time, which is to find a thief or a liar or someone that's working on you, is putting the names in water with a bit of salt and then boiling it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very similar along those lines. I wanted to ask you, what inspired, is this something that came to you from spirit? Was it because a client needed this type of working? You did it for yourself? What was the kind of background behind it?
I've done this for clients. I did not invent or reinvent the use of magnifying glasses in spell work to get at the truth. I first heard it from someone else years ago, and I've been doing variations on this spell occasionally through the years ever since. And sometimes I will, when I'm making a mirror box, I will put some of those flat magnifier cards in there on top of the mirrors. I'll just hot glue them right over the mirrors.
Very interesting. You've mentioned magnifying glasses before in some of the work that you do, so I'm assuming it's quite common in the type of work you do.
Well, I don't often need it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I reach for when I do need somebody to be straight with my client or with me.
Well, I'm certainly associating magnifying glasses and such with you because you're one of the few that I've heard that from. So that's very, very interesting. Supernatural Radio
well,
asks,
you know, whenever
which
there's...
oils did you indicate?
Oh, okay. Whichever way you do this, you need clarity and you need Crucible of Courage.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on whether your target is either shy or actually malicious, you would also
mm-hmm.
add either Blessing or Blockbuster or Cast Off Evil.
This is fundamentally meant to make someone take a really hard look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. I'm all for self-analysis, yeah.
Interesting. What do you think about it?
There's not enough of it going around.
What do you think, Madam Nadia?
Interestingly enough, as Ms. Michael was talking about it, I got reminded of a neat thing that Ms. Kat either gave away or showed in one of the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, and it was glass picture frame coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can
embed
an image, a picture, whatever it is, a sigil, whatever you want to do. So depending on who the person is or what they've done to you, let's say for a second, it's going to be different if it's somebody who you think loves you and you want them to tell you, you know, oh, I love you and confess,
mm-hmm.
or somebody who steals, you know, your change at work and you want them to confess. It's very different. But I would put their picture in there. If it's somebody who you like,
mm-hmm.
you can look at the picture, keep the picture there, face up. If it's somebody that you don't like, you can glue a little bit of red pepper on their mouth, you know, get creative with it. And then you're going to be putting your drinks on it. So let's say it's somebody who you want to confess and you want to go light on them, you're going to put a glass
mm-hmm.
of water, clear glass of water, and you're going to, as you do that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be thinking about it, but it's going to be consistent pressure, like what you said. If it's something...
mm-hmm.
You know, if it's somebody that needs a little bit more help and they're negative, you know, put some vinegar in that cup or put some, like, 151 that kind of burns your mouth, you know. Do something like that, and I think they're going to be talking to us.
Well, you definitely made it more Madam Nadia-esque with that. Thank you for the wonderful freestyle, Ms. Michael. It was fantastic. Thank you both for joining us. Couldn't have done this radio show without you. And, of course, thank you to the wonderful Papa New, who is now going to come in and take us out.
Thank you, Conjurman Ali and Madam Nadia. And thank you, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com and Willits, California, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to tune in next week as I, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, will be stepping out of the announcer's booth once again to be your special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. Once
Woo!
Again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjurman Ali online at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Madam Nadia at MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Madam Nadia. Thank you for this fantastic show. Hopefully
nice.
We can convince Ms. Michael to come back and give us part two of that really fantastic discussion. I would love to have further talks on that, and hopefully we'll have Ms. Cat back next week, so you have that to look forward to. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and thank you for being part of the radio show. Have a great week, and please remember, light those candles, say those prayers, The world could definitely use it at this time. For everyone here at Lucky Mojo, thank you for tuning in and have a great week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.